بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, second thing he said, I have become convinced and it has entered my heart and I know that nobody else will do good deeds on my behalf. My salah, who has to pray? I have to pray. My zakat, who has to pay? I have to pay. My hajj, who must do? I must do. My parents, who must serve? I must serve. My good deeds, nobody else will do, so therefore I am engaged in doing good deeds for myself. I'm not blaming it on somebody else. Why didn't you do? Oh, somebody this fault, that fault, nobody's fault. I have to do my stuff and I'm going to do my stuff. So first one, I became convinced that what Allah has written for me, nobody else can take. So I'm not worried. The second one is I became convinced that my good deeds, nobody else can do on my behalf. So I am busy with that. I busy myself with that. Number three, he said, I see Malakul Maut calling people, summoning people all the time. I see Malakul Maut calling people all the time. So I am preparing for the time when he calls me. This trip, I came here towards the end of September. I think I came here on the 21st or 25th of September, something like this. And today is the 21st of January. 22nd of January. So, say 22nd of September to 22nd of January. How many months is that? October, November, December, January. 4 months, right? In 4 months, I received news of 7 of my close friends who passed away. Close friends. I mean, obviously, hundreds of people must have died in the world. I'm not talking about, I'm saying people I know. Close friends of mine. Dear friends of mine, 7 of them passed away in this period of 4 months. Now, what is that? What does that mean? Well, it means it's a wake-up call for me, right? Now, this is what Hatim al-Hasan is saying. He's saying, I'm seeing Malakul Maut is summoning, calling people all the time. So, third secret of tranquility, of tawakkul is what? He said, I'm preparing for the time when he calls me. And he said the fourth one. It's very beautiful. He said the fourth one is, I became convinced and I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me 24/7. So I am shy, I am ashamed to commit any sin because my Rabb is watching me. How can I do something which is wrong when Allah is watching? In Surah Al-Alaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran Allah about this, the asbab al-nuzul of this ayat relate to Abu Jahl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alam ya alam bi anna Allah yara. Allah said, does he not know that Allah is watching? Alam ya alam bi anna Allah yara. Now my point is, as we know, the asbab al-nuzul of an ayat may be anything, but the ayat itself is applicable to everybody until the day of judgment. This is our understanding of the Quran, right? We can't say, oh, that came for Abu Jahl, so it's okay. I don't have to, not for me. No, it's, so the question, Alam ya alam ya Allah yara, does he not know that Allah is watching? This is a question for me. It's a question for you. It's a question for all of us. So when I am doing something, do I not know that Allah is watching? Not only in bad things. When I am doing salah, for example, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you are praying and your thoughts go somewhere else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh my slave, you are standing in front of me. Is there anything more beautiful than me before you? Allah says, oh my slave, you are standing before me. Is there anyone greater and more magnificent and more glorious and more worthy of attention than I am? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces or calls this out 3 times. And after that, he said, he leaves the musalli like you leave a camel without a rope. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghuyur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, if you are not interested, I'm not interested. So I'm not talking about, alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara, is Allah not watching me only with regard to sin. Sin we should not commit. We are Muslims. Why would we deliberately do something to anger Allah? Tell me. I'm saying, look at it from the hasanat perspective. Here I am here in a masjid, I'm standing in salah, and my mind is somewhere else. It is an oxymoronic thing. Just think about that. Supposing you say, while eating food, I am hungry. How is it possible? It's an oxymoron, is something which two things mutually exclusive, right? I mean, either you are hungry or you are eating, one of the two. How can you be hungry while you are eating? Even if you are very hungry, once you start eating, the hunger comes down, no? I mean, logically speaking, your stomach may not be full, but your hunger level has come down because you have eaten something. So if you say, I am eating, but I am hungry. I am bathing, but I am dirty. I am drinking, but I am thirsty. Is it possible? Not possible. Then how is ghafla possible in the middle of zikr? Tell me. You say, I am in salah, but I am ghafil in salah. How is it possible? Because salah is what? Zikrullah. So in the middle of zikr of Allah, I am ghafil? Ajeeb, eh? How is it possible? But mashallah, we do impossible things, eh? We do impossible things. We say, I do something which is impossible. I am ghafil in the middle of salah. Think about this. If we do not even have khushu in salah, if we do not even have concentration when standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where is this going to come? How is this concentration? In which other place is it going to come? Tell me. Right in front of Allah, I'm standing here. This is my aqidah. I'm standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is watching me. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? When Jibreel salam asked him, the hadith Jibreel, Umal ihsan ya Rasulallah, what did he say? An ta'budallaha ka'annaka tara. Fa'illam takun tara, fa'innahu yarak. He said, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu as if you are seeing him. As if you are seeing him. Ta'ala Allahu al-amthal, we don't give the misal of Allah, but my brother Nadeem is sitting here, Dr. Nadeem. I am looking at him too, in his face directly. Can I, after looking at him directly, I am looking at him, he's smiling at me, I'm smiling back at him. May Allah give us the reward of sadaqah for both of us, inshallah. Can I be ghafil from him at this time, in this moment? Is it possible? I'm looking at his face. So how can we be ghafil from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, worship him as if you can see him. And if you don't see him, know that he's seeing you. So Allah is watching me. So Hatim al-Asam says, Rahmatullah alayh, I am shy to do anything wrong. So four things, four secrets of tawakkul, four secrets of tranquility, four secrets of happiness in life. First one, I know that what Allah has written for me, nobody else can take. So I am free from worry. I don't worry about that. I know, second one, I know that nobody else will do my hasanat for me. Nobody else will do my good deeds for me. So I am busy with doing good deeds for myself. Number three, I see that Malakul Maut is calling people all the time. So I am preparing for the time when he calls me. And number four, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. So I am shy of disobeying my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. The other benefit of this awareness, of this ihsas, you know, our problem is ihsas, lack of ihsas. It's not lack of knowledge. We all know this. I'm sure that everything which I told you today, I don't think there's anybody except maybe the little kids there. I don't think any of you, for any of you, this is news. All of you have heard all these things. I have heard these things myself many times. Why do I keep repeating? For myself, not for you. Because the benefit comes only from practicing it. I can keep on repeating this, you can keep on hearing it, I can hear it. Nothing will happen. It will happen only when we put it into practice. That's why we should also repeat. But put in practice, not just repeat and listen and go away. No, put into practice. That practice is the problem. And therefore, one of the other benefits of this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence in our lives. Allah said this, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. So this awareness of Allah being with me wherever I am has two benefits. One is what we already mentioned, which is that it saves us. It is a shield and a protection from sin. If I am aware that my Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is watching me and is with me 24/7, then I cannot disobey Allah. So this is a protection from sin. We must learn to think of sin as something which is harmful to me. Right? I mean, this is one of the problems with us. We live in an environment where sin has been normalized. Sinning is not something which is unusual. It has been normalized. It's okay. Even if you are not doing it, I mean, I'm not saying you are doing it. You may not be doing it, but you are not shocked to see it. You don't lose sleep over it. You don't worry about it. You don't say that, wallahi, all of this sin is happening, I'm in the middle of this. What happens if the adab of Allah comes on this place? Then what happens to me? I'm also going to get caught in it. Right? If you are standing in a gas station and you find somebody smoking, what will you say? What will you do? Will you do anything? Yeah? You run like hell, right? That's it. You either tell that guy, don't do this thing. You're standing next to a gas pump, you're smoking a cigarette, you're out of your mind. Otherwise, he doesn't listen to you. You run like hell because you don't want that thing to blow up and you are standing there. This is what we are doing. Sin has become normalized. To disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become the norm. So, awareness that Allah is with me is a shield, is a protection. And the other benefit is, awareness that Allah is with me is the best resource. It is a huge source of confidence for me. Because my Rabb is with me, Jalla Jalalu. So how can I come to harm? How can anything bad happen to me when my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu is with me? This is the benefit of the ma'iyat of Allah. This is the benefit of having this closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we must know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must introduce ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ قَالَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى. Allah said the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything and anyone else. So I need to ask myself, is this true for me? Do I really love Allah more than anyone and anything else? And it's not simply enough to say yes. What is the evidence of that? What is the proof of that? If I tell you I love Allah more than anyone or anything else, then what is the evidence, what is the proof that shows me or shows you? You're not doing it to show anybody. I'm just saying for anything there has to be some evidence, right? Some proof. Supposing you say I spend 8 hours in the gym. And then I look at you and I say, well, you know, and I don't disagree with you, but 8 hours in the gym, and you look like this. Yeah, because I'm the receptionist. Huh? It's not a question of just spending 8 hours. 8 hours in the gym doing what? If you're standing there, sitting in the gym, answering phone calls, it's not going to help you. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me, if I have this ihsas, if I have this awareness, then alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, I have tremendous confidence in life. Nothing can scare me. Because my Allah is with me. I need something, I will ask Him. Uduni astajib lakum. He said, ask me, I will give you. So why should I worry? What should I worry about? Right? Now this is the benefit. And that's why we say, let us focus on practicing Islam. That's why I thought today, let me talk to you about people who practiced Islam, alhamdulillah,
And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase their darajat. Imagine, almost 1300 years later, after Hatim al-Asam passed away, radiallahu anhu, rahmatullahi alayh, today we take his name with respect. We say, rahmatullahi alayh. We make dua for him, we send salam, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on him and to forgive him. How is it? Now, he was not a wealthy man, he was not a rich man, he was not the king of some place, nothing. If he walked in here today, wallah alam, what we will think about him. May Allah have mercy on us. We have different standards today. You must change those standards. These are the people, the awliya Allah, inshaAllah. And we say awliya Allah, inshaAllah, because Allah knows who is awliya. We do not designate somebody as a wali of Allah. Allah knows who it is. So we say inshaAllah, alhamdulillah. These are the people who Allah elevated their status and their mention, and He kept their mention alive generation after generation, century after century. And that happened why? Not because they had money, not because they had power, not because they were kings, but because they were obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. When we become the true ibad of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates our position. That is the beauty of it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your coming here. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your lives with this barakah and nur. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all evil, to protect your children from all evil. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to make your children the coolness of your eyes, the source of happiness for you. I ask Allah to make your children a means of sadaqatul jariyah for you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your amal, to help you in your amal, to make them sahal for you, easy for you, and to fill those amal with barakah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.